Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely lady, Reverend Sheila Crawford, whose calling in life is to stir you up to hunt for treasures in God's Word.
Indeed it is, and we do have another hidden treasure to share with you about the seven churches that we've been studying. Another proof that His Word is absolutely divinely inspired. But first, let's pray.
We bless you, Father, and thank you for the opportunity to proclaim your truth over the airways. May your Holy Spirit guide us tonight as we strive to know you more. We pray for the spiritual well-being of your listeners, and may you continue to draw our families who have not yet made you master over all areas of their lives. And may your current revival expand all borders. Adonai, we lift up to you these prayer requests to include our financial needs and pray that those who can will help support this ministry. And most of all, Abba Father, have mercy on your church and keep us all in perfect shalom. We ask in Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. Well, we skipped the news last week, so we'll do just a little catch-up. The good news is we are seeing revivals breaking out in America, birthed in Kentucky, and praying it will spread all over. God is pouring out His Spirit on the good soil to bring in the final fold before the rapture. And this makes my heart sing.
And helps us to cope with all the junk around us.
Oh, yes, in all areas. And Biden just says everything is great as he shows the world what a hero he is by going to dangerous Ukraine amongst the air sirens roaring for a stage photo op.
And another check.
Mm-hmm. And the left just ate it all up and called Biden a hero.
Well, you know, Russia was informed Biden was coming.
Yeah, he did know, and Putin knew to not threaten Biden's life. By the way, whenever an air siren goes off, people run for cover, but they just kept strolling along.
Well, it's an obvious sign it's a fake.
These are dangerous times, and continues to worsen by our increasing sanctions on Russia, which pushes Russia even more so right into the arms of China.
And Iran, too.
Mm-hmm. We have a commander-in-chief who is just not sentient. It's like we're being run by the mafia who has a vested interest in prolonging this war. Two points made this obvious to me. First, the West refuses to negotiate. And second, how Biden keeps slow walking in giving the necessary weapons like F-16s and long-range missiles. So to end it quickly, it's all about greed.
Absolutely, because the warmongers, they're making a fortune.
And some Dems and Biden are getting kickbacks while pushing us into World War III. And by the way, remember in the Mason's book, Morals and Dogma by Albert Pike, written in the 1800s? So that was before World War I. He wrote that there would be three world wars.
Well, these wars are all planned.
Mm-hmm. And another goal is to drastically reduce the population. And remember that Rockefeller think tank, Mr. Deagle? He made a chart about 10 years ago that said by 2025, there'd only be 100 million people left in America.
There's 320 million right now.
Yeah, so reduced by two-thirds? He must have read Revelation. As well, the Georgia Guidestone Monument carvings. Remember they said only 500 million for the whole earth.
That was demolished about a year ago.
Right. Anyhow, back to Ukraine and its massive money laundering scheme for the globalists. And remember, the Bidens have a long history with the corrupt government of Ukraine, especially after the globalists removed the democratically elected president in 2014. That was the year that Russia thought they'd better claim Crimea. And now, puppet Zelensky came in as president in 2019, supposedly to clean up corruption.
Well, that didn't happen.
For sure. And now we have been sucked into giving almost $200 billion to protect Ukraine's borders, but very little to protect our own borders.
And who suffers the most?
Well, the poor innocent people of Ukraine and our border towns, but the elite, they really just don't care.
Again, it's all about greed.
Mm-hmm. So the actor and comedian Zelensky even admitted last week when he thanked us Americans for supporting Ukraine and added his Congress, himself the president, the TV channels, and the journalists who, by the way, are being highly censored.
And there is no freedom of true Christian religion.
Oh, right. And by the way, Putin went into the Donbas area to really help the separatist Russians living there who begged for help against the Ukrainian neo-Nazi group that's there and was constantly attacking the Russians living in that area.
Well, it is very opposite. It's very obvious our leaders want Putin removed.
Yep. But not just because he's evil, rather because he's hindering the global agenda of a new world order. In the meantime, as spring approaches, Russia is adding hundreds of more soldiers, while Biden keeps adding to our debt. Did you know that the interest alone that must be paid is $400 billion a year?
And by the way, we owe China over $1 trillion.
Which means a hefty monthly interest of many millions. However, let's end with the good news. Jesus knows all about it, and he will come to rescue us. Hallelujah.
If you have any questions or comments, please email us to Sheila@shofarministries.net or just call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Love offerings are greatly appreciated. And as well, we're looking for a used car should anyone like to donate for when God calls me, I can return to work. You can also subscribe and donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all our past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning.
And for you very serious students of God's Word, we have a detailed 11x17 paper chart that outlines each of the seven churches in Revelation to visualize the entire scope and the differences between them, and also how each church complements the seven parables of Matthew 13 and also the seven different churches that Paul wrote to. And it's all on one sheet. The similarities are remarkable.
And that's our subject for tonight.
Yes, it is. So you can request one for any love offering to P.O. Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And for sure, read all these, the parables and the letters, on your own this week. And we'll do our best right now to stir you up, so to do your own homework.
And you might see some nuggets that we didn't.
Very true.
Okay, let's look at the parables of Matthew 13.
Interesting that there were seven. And Jesus calls them the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven in verse 11. All scholars agree it's about the church, which was, you know, a mystery in the Old Testament.
Number one, the parable of the sower.
Well, that's pretty easy. Which church in Revelation is the sowing church? You know, the beginners.
Ephesus.
This parable gives the four kinds of results sown on different soils. Sadly, only 25% of those who hear the gospel falls on good soil. That means 75% of all who are given the gospel will not accept it. We already know that the road is narrow, so don't get discouraged when the seed falls on hard soil.
Shake the dust off your feet and move on to another.
Yes. And there's more to this. Before we go on, I want you to picture the tabernacle and its three sections. You know, the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies.
Which is very close to God.
Mm-hmm. Now think about this. Out of the 25% who do accept the gospel, a third of them, well, they prefer to stay in the outer court.
The 30-fold.
Mm-hmm, the 30-fold. You know, the ones saved by the skin of their teeth. Still another third decides, because it's a choice, to make it into the inner or the middle court, also referred to as the holy place.
They are about 60-fold Christians.
And the final third of the 25% will reside in the Holy of Holies. So, only about 8%, because not all Christians yield the same according to Matthew 13:8. Think about that as you reread the parables this week. But the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2 matches this sowing parable. And we also see a favorite phrase Jesus also uses in Revelation.
Anyone got an ear? Let him hear.
Mm-hmm. It's extremely interesting that one of the reasons that the seed doesn't root is because the birds come and eat it, which Jesus himself interprets in verse 19 as being the wicked ones, the demons. And remember in Ephesians 6 how Paul warns of the wicked ones in high places. So all new converts must be told to apply the armor of the word as soon as possible. In these parables, the birds do represent Satan's army.
Only his word acts as his armor. Okay, the wheat and the tares.
We know the enemy exists amongst us. So who did Jesus tell to remain faithful, to overcome to the end when evil is destroyed?
Smyrna.
For sure. They had to live amongst the tares and suffered greatly, but were told to hang tight and their reward would be great.
The third parable is the mustard seed.
And that's the smallest of seeds, therefore it should only have been a bush. But what church got too big where the birds made their home in it?
Pergamos.
Yes. They actually welcomed the birds by letting in paganism.
Number four, the leaven.
Leaven is always a picture of sin. False doctrine is sin. It's always hidden at first and then grows till all is leavened. Notice it's a woman who hides it, as Jezebel was a woman. In Pergamos, it was just a little leaven, and now the yeast has expanded, filling the whole church of
Thyatira.
But amongst them was
a hidden treasure.
That remnant of various treasures and different gems who is found in the field, the picture of the world, who sold all he had to buy the field, so to get the treasure that was in it. Of course, it's referring to Jesus. The price has been paid. It's just waiting in escrow. Is there not a time when you pay your costs for a property and another time when escrow closes? When it closes, you get the deed and you can go and get it. Well, Jesus gets the deed or the scroll in Revelation 5 and opens the seal. So then the property, well, he's got to clean it up first. So which church broke away from Thyatira and became the treasure?
Sardis.
Mm-hmm. But there is a particular gem within the different stones that would become his real adornment.
The pearl.
Yes, that's the number six parable. So think about this. It begins as an ugly irritation within a shell. And that's, of course, like sin.
Only gem that was a favorite of the Gentiles.
Yes. And the Jews, Deuteronomy 14, were not allowed to eat oysters. But they did trade them because it was very profitable gem, because it comes from a living organism. In time, the hidden gem inside turns white and whiter, sort of like the stars, where some are brighter, according to Daniel 12:3. And as it grows bigger, and there are different sizes, it becomes smoother, while still protected by an outer shell.
The armor of Jesus.
To be eventually removed from their existing shell to adorn the groom.
It's an amazing typology.
Oh, it is. And also, to complement that, honey, would you please read Malachi 3:17?
They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him.
So we leave our shells, these mortal bodies, at the resurrection / rapture, to be spared from the tribulation. So this week, also read Revelation 21 about the New Jerusalem, and you'll see that there's 12 gates and 12 pearls. So which church is the pearl of great price?
The Church of Philadelphia.
And the last parable is...
The dragnet.
This is the judgment at the end of the tribulation when the wicked are separated from the just. The sheep and goats judgment of Matthew 25. The unrighteous will wait in a place of torment until the great white throne judgment for their final sentencing in eternal hell, the furnace of fire. But at the end of the tribulation, the righteous will enter into the messianic kingdom. So what church is told to repent and open the door to Jesus?
Laodicea.
Now notice how the parables do follow in the same order of the churches.
The designing fingerprint of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. It's actually breathtaking to see it.
Okay, do Paul's letters match up as well?
Well, let's see. You know, Paul admits to writing 13 letters by his signature. But not Hebrews. Well, I think I know why.
Oh, do tell.
Perhaps Paul didn't own up to it because it wouldn't fit into this scenario that I'm about to show you.
It's a good possibility.
Anyhow, four letters went to people. Titus, Philemon, and two to Timothy. That leaves nine to churches, in which two churches were written to twice.
So that leaves seven different churches that Paul wrote to.
Yes. And the first one's pretty easy. Is there a church that Paul wrote to about marriage and espousal love and then relates it to Christ and the church? Even has the same name.
Of course. To the Ephesians at Ephesus.
Mm-hmm. Is there a church that Paul wrote to whose central theme is joy of suffering, to die is gain? For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe, but to suffer for his sake. He himself died a martyr, Paul did, at the hands of Nero. And he helped martyr Stephen.
Philippians.
Which would correspond to...
Smyrna.
Yeah, the church at Smyrna. Okay, let's look at Pergamos, who brought in the world, which church was a carnal, worldly church, called them fleshly, incestuous, misused the gifts, false prophets, and said Satan comes as an angel of light.
Corinthians.
Mm-hmm.
Next is Thyatira.
So now paganism is dominant and heavy against the Jews. In fact, no association. A heavy Jezebel spirit, and still today. They want to be judged by their works, and they will be. Is there a church that Paul wrote to that dealt with false doctrine of legalism, as in the law, works rather than grace alone? Galatians. I beat ya.
Yeah, you did.
Where a little leaven leavens the whole lump. That's what began in Pergamos and full-blown in Thyatira. Okay, so the fifth church was Sardis. And it broke away. But still, nothing good said about them. Martin Luther, although did a good thing by leaving, actually turned an anti-Semite who loved to argue doctrine and got irate when the Jews wouldn't turn Christian, called them disgustingly venomous, bitter worms, ordered the destruction of synagogues, and later Hitler would quote from Luther's remarks, and maybe that's why Sardis has nothing good said about it. So, what church did Paul write to that really explains doctrinal issues?
Romans.
It's very formal and systematic. Many denominations today, instead of unity, division, causing many denominational mainline churches. No real spirit.
And definitely not looking for Jesus.
So, because they are not watching, he will come as a thief. Revelation 3:3. And then there's us, the Philadelphians, the revival of 1730. So now we broke away from the Sardis' dead orthodoxy, and we received no criticism. So what book talks of a removal and goes into depth about the tribulation and the man of perdition, etc.?
Thessalonians.
And don't forget the greatest promise of Revelation 3, verse 10, to keep us from the hour of trial, just the opposite of Thyatira, and the warning of casting them into great tribulation, the time of testing for the earth dwellers.
And lastly, number 7, Laodicea.
The last day's church ruled by the people. No commendations, much criticism, and most, not all, remember, but most will enter the tribulation, joining the one world church. In need of nothing, lukewarm, noted for its pleasures like a Las Vegas vacation spot of the ancient world, the only church left that Paul wrote to was
Colossians.
It contains the same phrases as in Laodicea, and yet nowhere else. We see the beginning of creation as a title of Jesus Christ, and in Colossians 1:15, called the firstborn, meaning head over all creation. In Colossians, Paul warns of similar things that relate to New Age, worship of angels, and visions. Colossians talks of Christ at the right hand in chapter 3, verse 6, and so does Laodicea in chapter 3, verse 21. Colossians talks of God's wrath coming, and Laodicea says to repent and open the door for Jesus, and that's in verse 20. Remember, Paul wrote these letters 40 years before John's revelation. So can you see the fingerprint of the Holy Spirit? So, this week, study this all on your own. Go over it again. See what else the Holy Spirit reveals to you personally. And it's time for me to ask, is Jesus Lord over your life? Will you escape the awful tribulation coming? You know you can, with just a meaningful prayer. Repent and invite him inside. Invite him into your heart. Let him speak to your soul through his word. Let him rule over you instead of the God of this world who has been guiding your life, whether you are conscious of it or not. Because Satan wins when Jesus isn't ruling your life. So I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from Numbers 6:22. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for our leaders and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. Shalom. Till next time.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.